this is crazy. Like exactly 8 days after I wrote down what I wanted, boom, it started to manifest.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Hello, my confident peoples. I just want to remind you, if you have been loving the episodes, to please help me grow this podcast by going to Apple Podcasts and rating and reviewing the show, and by donating a couple of bucks on my PayPal link on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for coming with me on this journey. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. Now, let me tell you about what's in store for this week's episode. The life of a healer, so many altered states of consciousness, and then you have to find a way of bringing that back down the mountain while managing the life duties like paying rent and other bills. My next guest had a life-changing experience at a wizard training and started to channel information which was well received by her audiences. But she started to doubt herself and lost the ability until she could rebuild and trust herself again. We talk about this and healing from an abusive family and finding the courage to honor your intuition despite what that may mean for your finances. I know it sounds like a bunch of heavy topics, but I promise you it's a fascinating and a joy-filled ride. So hop on in with me and Connie Keto, this week's Confident Healer. Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Mali. And this week we have a very sweet and bubbly soul among us who experienced a spontaneous kundalini rising in 2006 at a wizard training retreat where she opened to channel a higher guide called Orion. Although this experience reignited her psychic centers, she struggled to stay grounded in the 3D world. Through music, dance, voice, dialogue, nature, and a tremendous support system, she's been able to build her repertoire of somatic body consciousness tools and step more and more into her fully expressed self. And that's with a small S and a large E, like elf, self. Got it? Nowadays, Kani, meaning sound in Hawaiian, prefers to get back to her ancient roots, connecting with the land and nature spirits, allowing them to speak through her dancing and her movements, much like how any indigenous peoples communicated in generations past. She's a certified sacred depths coach, certified massage therapist, retreat facilitator, and energy conjurer. However, with everything shifting so quickly in the Great Awakening, she professes to be indefinable. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Kani Keto. Yay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sharmila. So happy to be here. So excited to connect with you.
Me too. Me too. It's been a while and I'm so happy.
It has been.
You decided to say yes.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder what I'm saying yes to. We'll see what, what comes up.
My very first question is this: how has the pandemic been treating you?
You know, I have resistance to sharing how I've actually been doing because, to be honest with you, 2020 was one of the best years of my entire life.
Oh my God, that's great. Well, please indulge. Yeah.
Isn't it great? And yet it's not what people expect to hear. So, and I don't want to be in your face like, oh, my year was actually pretty good. So, yeah. But thanks for asking because it was quite a year of breaking old patterns. So I had been in the restaurant industry for 32 years.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. I've worked in every position you possibly imagine. You know, I started when I was 18, so everything like from hostess to manager, to bookkeeper, to event coordinator. So I've done it all. And, I was getting really tired of just that container. Mm-hmm. And, I remember saying at the end of 2019, this feels like death energy. This feels like death energy. This restaurant is dying. And I didn't realize that I was also picking up on the collective energy. Because I didn't realize, hello, I'm psychic here. I didn't realize I was foreseeing what was going to happen in March of 2020. Right. So in March, I think it was March 6th was my last day at my full-time job. And boom, by March 17th, we were in shelter in place. So I had a little bit of a head start in sheltering in place and cocooning. And that weekend, I actually did the master cleanse. I did 10-day cleanse. Yes. So I'm like, okay, I want to clear my body. I want to clean out all of this old energy. It's death energy.
As we laugh maniacally.
Exactly. And I also was guided to do a 4-day digital detox. Oh. So yes, I gave up my phone and my computer. I gave it to my sweetie Mika. I said, hide it, please. let me just go within.
Nice.
And I can't remember what it was, but it was on a significant day where I finished my digital detox. It happened on some global meditation. I can't remember when that was.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a really powerful time. My psychic centers opened even more, and I started astral traveling. I started opening up telepathy. I was guided at that time. I got the message that the grid system, the electrical system, the grid was a little bit vulnerable. And I said, well, how much? And they said, don't worry, my guides said, don't worry, maybe 52%. It's at 52%. You're okay. It's not going to go down or anything. But you might want to practice telepathy again. I had been, you know, practicing telepathy way back when. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like we all do. She says it so nonchalantly. Yeah, I've been practicing telepathy way back when.
Okay, I know. I forget. I'm weird.
That's awesome. No, I'm you're not. Yeah, weird in the best way.
I'm not
way.
Typical. Thanks.
In the best way.
Aw, thank you. So I said, okay, well, you know, when I used to practice telepathy, I would just send energetic blasts to people. And then, of course, they would text saying, hey, I'm thinking of you or whatever it is. But I wanted something more specific. I'm like, how will I know if these people, somebody received my telepathic message? And they said, come up with a code word. And the first word that came to my awareness was cucumber. I don't know. It was so random. I'm like, okay, cucumber. That's the code word. Okay. And so I go about my days. And about just under a month later, I was talking to a girlfriend in Japan. And she and I took reconnective healing together. So she's psychic too. And she was eating lunch. It was probably my nighttime, her lunchtime. And we just spontaneously got on Skype to reconnect. And I was telling her about the message I got about the grid system being a little bit vulnerable and to practice telepathy again, all the while she's eating. And then I told her, yeah, you know, and one of the code word was cucumber. She picks up her chopsticks and she holds up a cucumber and she's like, oh yeah. And we're like, ah. So I guess she got my telepathic message or energy. And
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. So that's kind of what my year's been like. And also what I mentioned about breaking down patterns, I had been a very physically hard worker pretty much all my life. And so to be able to be very blessed to have this time to rest and rejuvenate for how many months is it? 9 months? A gestation period. Yay. Yeah. And to break down the patterns of doing this, you know, the rat race doing, that's like old paradigm, right? That's right. 3D paradigm. And we're shifting to 5D and beyond. And so it was an opportunity to play and dance every day and sing and meditate and just do all the things that bring joy. Mm. And to know that we truly are supported. Like, how do I explain this? I feel like what I know to be true within my, like to the core of my being, is that this planet, and everybody's got their own perceptions. This is just my perception and my lens, is that this planet really is ascending. The consciousness is rising. The energy frequencies are rising. I don't know if you knew that in December, was it December 4th of 2020 of last year, the Schumann resonance spiked to 500, whatever it was, hertz, which is unheard of. It's normally at 7 hertz. And the highest spike it's ever had was like 158 hertz, which was in 2019 or something like that. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you, we're receiving a lot of energy upgrades, like frequency upgrades. And so I don't know if you've been experiencing ascension symptoms, girl.
that would make sense. Yeah.
Our bodies are trying to integrate.
Nursing a UTI. So.
Right. Yeah. Nursing.
Since November. Since November 30th.
November 30th?
Yeah.
What is this? Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So you're nursing your back?
Yeah, throughout my back. Yeah. About over a month ago.
I remember a friend of ours telling me that because she had talked to you. And so can you explain what the Schumann resonance is?
I'm not very scientific, so I'm not the best person to explain it. But supposedly it measures the electromagnetic frequencies of the Earth. So somewhere between the Earth's surface and all the way up to the ionosphere. It measures the electromagnetic frequencies. And so when there are, say, like if we have a solar flare, so a solar flare is when the sun emits this electromagnetic energy.
Yeah.
And it takes a few days to hit the Earth, but the Schumann resonance most likely spikes.
Mm.
And so I forget when it was. We did have an M-class flare shortly before that Schumann spike. And so with that, it just goes to show that frequencies are rising. And when frequencies are rising, so will consciousness.
Mm.
And you're in a certain frequency. It might be like in 5D consciousness, we won't have certain thoughts. We won't have certain beliefs. We won't have much fear and shame and all of that. I mean, it'll take a while though for the collective consciousness to fully embody 5D. Let me tell you, it'll take a while. But because things are shifting, I truly believe that we are moving to the Great Awakening, like heaven on earth, like literally. On Friday, every Friday, my little social pod, which we've been meeting almost every Friday since last March, we meet every Friday to play music and just to enjoy each other's company. We were playing outside and there was the most magnificent sunset. Like we have them all the time. Brilliant magenta, but this lasted for like 45 minutes, something crazy.
Mm.
Yeah. And the message I got was heaven is here already. higher consciousness, higher ways of living is here already. It's just for us to realize it, to see it and realize it's already here. And then to make the choices. And it's not always easy, right? To make certain choices.
Yeah.
To live in that, to have that way of living.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because with every, big shift, and now there's in the collective shift in many parts of the world, and most recently, in the good old United States, there's a big divide, and it's deeply concerning, as we all saw. And that to me is also, when you sometimes, honestly, like with these ascension symptoms that I've read about over the years, and it's something, I feel like it's just kind of, it's a process, right? Like, I don't know how else to say that. Just like in your own healing work, you have these big breakthroughs and then you crash because like reality doesn't match where you're at. You're like, wait a minute. So that it's like kind of the same thing with this collective, with this huge divisiveness that is like being pushed at us I think it would still happen because, revolutions always happen regardless of whatever technology is around, I definitely feel that, and just watching what's happening in the political climate and between friends and, having these big ideology differences, these massive, differences, it's deeply concerning. And it's like, okay, how do we bridge this gap? And that's why I think that's one of the things I talked about last week on my solo cast was, just being compassionate, just really seeing it from the other person's point of view, because they're just as passionate as you are. We all want the same things, we want to have a prosperous and healthy life.
Absolutely. My sweetie and Mika have gone through that. Yes, we have differing views, and it's been really fascinating to navigate around our differing views. But it's been so beautiful because, he's such a high level being. He's my teacher for sure. He is so quick to come back to love, quicker than me. and also he's very passionate about his political stance. And I'm not political. I'm like this fairy, like not really understanding the whole system as it is. I personally think the whole system is dysfunctional. So
that's the understatement of the year. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So we have had, we have started to get heated, and then we would just stop and we would say, what's really important here? And we would say love. And so we would remember love is the most important thing. And no matter like how much we try to convince each other of our stances, we always both came back to, okay, but what do you do with that information? Like, how are we living our best life? That's what we want to do, is just live our best life. And so that's what we've been practicing. And it's been wonderful. And I'm hoping that by us practicing in our little bubble, we'll be able to hold that frequency and awareness and consciousness. And it'll allow others to live in that way as well. Because you're right, Sharmila, everybody wants the same things. We really do, deep down. And each side really believes that they have the answers and know the truth or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so true. How do we bridge that? How do we find the commonalities? Good question. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, my stab is just being empathic and just to be able to listen and try not to judge the other person. So hard. I'll
admit. You know what, Meek and I do, and maybe it's just because it's our nature, so it might not work for everybody, but we do what's called cast of characters. And so we allow different aspects of ourselves to have their voices and be played out. And we exaggerate it so much and make it so big that it's actually pretty amusing. And so we're our own entertainment. Nice. Who needs TV?
Yeah.
And when I can exaggerate myself and hear myself talking, it kind of sounds ridiculous. And so we don't really take ourselves too seriously.
I think that's part of it too, not to take yourself so seriously that you can't sit back and like, well, shit, this is kind of ridiculous. And, what is the best way? And I mean, I think we're all just trying to find that. I think that's the truth of the matter, is we're all trying to find what the best way is. And I always remind myself of that quote that I see thrown around the internets of, we're all just walking each other home. It's like, yeah, you know, how do we find the best way to walk each other home instead of like pushing each other aside? Like, no, this way. Yeah. But
yeah.
I was curious about this great awakening at the, what was it called? The wizard training. Like what? Oh, okay. First wizard training and.
Oh my God.
And then this, and then your huge shift. Cause I know you've told me some stuff before and, which I was like, oh, okay. Just with some of the shadow things that come up and I was like, I must have a really big block or I'm not that open, you know, to deal with. Anyway, but tell us about the wizard training and what's the wizard training? And then like, do they still have that? What is that?
You know, I'm not sure if they still have it. And so I'm not sure how much I can share, because talking out of context, it just might not do the training justice, but it was when I was in T. Harv Eker's Quantum Leap program. So I got to take all of the programs. So there was a warrior training, and then the wizard training was more about law of attraction, and it was more of the spiritual aspects. And it was also the yin aspects of finding your balance and being able to be receptive versus warriors. Aha, do whatever it takes. And, right. And yeah, so wizards, the other archetypal energy. And I think I could share that much. Let me see. Cause I don't know if they do them anymore, if they still have them. And if so, I would highly recommend it. I've taken so many courses over whatever, 20 years. And to be honest with you, Harv Eker's warrior training and wizard were probably the most profound experiences, because it was completely experiential.
Mm.
And so what I can share with you, let me check in. So there was, let me see. Yeah, I just don't want to spoil it for anybody. But there was a process that we went through at wizard training. And not everybody had this experience, of course. Everybody received whatever they needed to. But for me, I guess I could share it. We were doing something similar to holotropic breath work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how intense that can be.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had never experienced that before. And so here I was doing this heavy, intense breathing for like 40 minutes, and I'm on my back. And at that point, I wasn't very clairvoyant, but during that breath work, all the psychic centers open. I'm screaming as I'm doing the breath work, and just screaming and screaming. And I'm seeing this stream of black energy just coming out of my mouth, like just spewing out into the air. And it just went on for what seemed like forever. And then all of a sudden, boom, silence, nothingness. Peace, I was in the void. And my body flipped over into the fetal position. And I was literally goo-gooing and gaga-ing like a baby. It was like really literally rebirthing. Mm. And yeah, and then I flipped over to my back, and then my arms started waving in the air back and forth. And I said to my partner, I don't know what that means. And she said, yes, you do. And in that instant, I knew my past had been erased. And I kid you not, like this is going to be really woo-woo. Oh!
Chills, yeah.
Ah, yeah. It's... I consider July 12, 2006, my rebirth date. So what am I, only 8 years old, almost nine? because from that day on, I almost feel like what I would think a walk-in would be, everything seemed new to me. Mm-hmm. The plant kingdom seems so vibrant, and I can almost hear them now. That's why I feel like I give them a voice through my dancing. Mm-hmm. Everything's so vibrant and new, and I find things so amusing and wondrous. And I almost feel like I'm a kid again. Is all I can explain it as. And that was when I first, I first opened to channel my guide, Orion. At that point, I had one hand reached over, my right hand reached over to my left shoulder, and my left hand reached over to my right shoulder, and I got a cosmic hug, cosmic squeeze. Nice. And it was my guides. Yeah. And then when I got home, I would meditate every morning and then just put pen and hand and paper and start automatic writing. I didn't know that's what it was at the time. I should go back though, just a little bit. So I want to say maybe 2 weeks before wizard training, somebody told me about the book Ask and It Is Given. Yeah. And I'm like, what's this Ask and It Is Given? Oh, let me read this book. And I start reading about Esther and how she came to open to channel Abraham. Mm-hmm. And I just said to myself, oh yeah, I got one of those too. I have never heard of channeling, never heard of higher God, none of that. But I'm like, yeah, I got one of those too. And then boom, at the wizard training, boom, I blew out my crown chakra and opened to channel this being called Orion. And so I started automatic writing, and then I said, well, I want to start verbally channeling. And that was quite the process in and of itself. At first, it took so much energy. It was exhausting. And it's because Orion was learning how to communicate through me just as much as I was learning how to receive. Right. So we were working as a team.
Right.
Yeah, I would say, can you speed it up a little bit? Because it was coming out so slow. And then it would be, I'm like, I don't understand that. Can you slow it down? It was so funny. And I started bringing through information and then started channeling for people. And just validating things for people and sharing things I couldn't have known. Speaking in a certain terminology, Connie couldn't have known. And unfortunately, though, and fortunately, I suppose, my ego kept saying, how long can you keep this up? You must have known something about them. You must have read about them, or I don't know what. You're just a fake. How long can you keep that up? So each time I would get a confirmation and validation from somebody, the ego would come in and say, how long can you keep that up? And I became less and less effective. And so about a year and a half later, something like that, or 2 years later, Orion came in and said, guess what? Not that you're on your own, but I'm going to take a step back. And you're going to have to make your own God connection. Your own connection is source, not guide. I'm like, no, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And he's like, sorry. that's not how it works. It's not for your highest good. So, he's still there. And I just say he in quotes because the energy of it feels a little bit more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there. However, most recently, I don't know how to explain this concept. Most recently, I feel like I've been playing with connecting with my higher aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So my higher aspects, meaning maybe parts of myself from the future or from different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on. We're energy workers. I mean, like, how, you know, that's the realm that you're in when you're working. I was like, oh, that I should talk about that in a separate solo cast. But like, you know, sometimes I'll look at the clock and time will just go so slow that I feel like hours have gone by and it's only like 15. I'm like, oh my God, I've got 45 minutes left on this what the hell? I'm just like, oh my God, okay. You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, I'm out of time. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, you know, absolutely. Time is so relative. And when you are in that, you know, I mean, it's even though I'm standing or sitting with this other person, you know, you're channeling energy, they're channeling and you're just holding the space. And yeah, that you're definitely in so many different dimensions. I don't even know. I don't categorize them. I'm just like, I know this shit ain't coming from this reality. You know, like I know that for a damn fact. I don't question that. But what's fascinating is, as the confident healer that we are, is that that beautiful self, that inner critic, just likes to get in there. And it just sounded like you started to lose confidence. So it seemed like Orion was like, you know what, you need to build this back up yourself.
Yes.
And I imagine too that there's just so much energy. You know, for those of you who can't tell, because this is audio, but Connie is you're not that short, but you're petite.
I'm short.
Yeah, but you're not like 4'10". Like I know people are 4'10". You know, like
5'1".
Is it 5'1"? I was gonna say 5'2". Yes. Yeah, she's petite and 5'1". But your energy is so much bigger than that. And, you know, when you're saying like, oh, I feel like a kid, I was like, well, you know, I only met you like 5 years ago. So that's how I've experienced you, I guess, from that point on. You know, I feel like, did you always have this type of energy before? No, you were completely different. Oh. It totally changed your personality.
Oh, heck yeah.
Really? I was like, really?
Well, okay. Yes. Wow. Yeah, I went through depression in my 20s and possibly 30s. I don't know. It was a blur. But I do remember on my 25th birthday, I had a breakdown. I'm a quarter of a century old. What am I doing with my life? At 25. So I feel like because I had a pretty difficult childhood, it was a pretty toxic environment, with some emotional, psychological, physical abuse. I feel like I was a pretty serious person, and wow. I grew up in, you believe that? What the heck? That's why I'm telling you, I think I'm a walk-in. I don't know. Anyways, I was serious, and I grew up in a fear-based environment. Everything was don't do that because it's dangerous. Don't go out there. It's dangerous. So I was very sheltered, very, very sheltered then. So it was completely different. I remember, I can't believe I'm going to share this. I don't know if it's going to stay in or if you're going to edit it out. But
I just want to warn you that she talks about wanting to end her life. So if you want to fast forward 15 seconds into this, I suggest you do that now.
I remember praying to God, like, please, please either do something about my dad or let me just leave this planet.
Mm.
Please, I can't take it anymore. And so it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Here's something quite fascinating. So I'm the youngest of three girls. I have two older sisters, and I'm third generation Japanese, even though I forget I'm Asian. So if you call me a woman of color, I won't really, I don't know. I just think I'm a bean. anyway, so where was I going with this? Two older sisters, three of us never got married, never had kids.
Oh.
My two older sisters are still living under the same roof as my father in Southern California. He's been disabled since I was three. And we all chose to live with him when my parents got divorced. Can you believe a judge would grant a disabled father of three girls custody versus a mother? It's quite fascinating. Mm. But that can tell you how interesting our childhood was to have three girls not marry and not have kids, and they're still there helping him, taking care of him. Like the oldest is taking care of my dad, and so we have quite the ancestral karma there. Mm-hmm. And it took me literally 41 years to break free from the family chains.
Wow.
Yeah. And I used to be embarrassed to say that, but now it just is what it is. It took me that long. And yet I feel grateful because I don't have to replay that family dynamic in my next life.
Mm.
If I come back to this earth plane, we'll see.
So what do you mean by breaking away? Because I thought I remember you saying at one point that you had healed a lot with your father and had forgiven him and had a better relationship. So you still have a relationship, but in terms of what kind of break are you talking about that you broke free? Just
So I too was living in that house in Chino Hills because we all were owners of the house. So that was our ties together. Mm-hmm. And there was this interesting unspoken agreement that the only way out of this family unit and this house is if somebody got married, but none of us got married. So I'm like, how am I going to get out of this house? I'm 41 years old. and which is really weird. The reason why I feel like it's weird, I feel like it's ancestral DNA stuff, is because I'm third generation. I feel so Americanized. I can't even tell you. So I know it's deep in the DNA,
mm-hmm.
in our lineage somehow. So anyways, what happened was in 2011, this is another story. 2011, the restaurant that I was working at went under. And so it was in May. And I remember writing in my journal, wow, this could be an opportunity to go a different direction. Like, maybe I should leave the rat race. Wow, if so, what do I want to do? Like, what's next for me? And so I wrote down, I would like to live in a community. That would be cool, of like-hearted and like-minded people. Oh, I would love to garden because, oh God, I mean, I lived in a concrete jungle.
Right.
I would love to learn how to garden. Live almost off-grid as much as possible. And then I wrote, well, who would I need to surround myself with in order to learn these ways? And I wrote a whole bunch of names, a lot of Hay House authors, because that's who I was reading at the time, but also this one man. And he was the owner of a ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. And I had visited his ranch maybe 7 or 8 months prior. And I met him briefly, but didn't really get to talk to him very much. But anyways, I just thought, oh, well, he created a community. They're living pretty much almost off grid. So anyways, 8 days later, I decided, you know what? I feel like I should be looking for another job, but my soul is calling me to Shasta. It was during the Wesak moon. And for 3, 4, 5 years straight, I felt called to be in Shasta for the Wesak moon. And not that I needed to be at the Wesak festival in Shasta, but I just wanted to be there to for the energies. Mm-hmm. But my dear, dear soul sister got me entrance into the Wesak festival. And the first person I see is that man.
Oh,
the owner of the ranch.
Mm, yeah. Oh my God, I remember the story. Go ahead. Keep going.
You do?
Yeah. I do. I remember you telling me.
And I go up to him. I'm like, hi, do you remember me? Like, he would really remember me. He's got visitors from all over the world coming to the ranch. And he's like, yeah, I remember you. And he just kept saying, oh, you have good energy. And he had a vendor table because he was the keynote speaker. And supposedly the organizers were supposed to give him a volunteer to help him with the vendor table, but they didn't arrive. So I said, oh, I'll help you. So I helped him the whole weekend. And I helped him create his PowerPoint for his presentation. And then, after, I don't know how quickly after that, he invited me up to the ranch. And so I went up to the ranch and it was amazing. And it was really cool to see that, here's this, there's eight people living together, working the land. They had gardens, lots of gardens, and they had people from all over the world coming to visit because it was a UFO hotspot.
Mm.
And he had ambassador trainings and all kinds of healing workshops and stuff like that. So I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Like exactly 8 days after I wrote down what I wanted, boom, it started to manifest.
Mm.
And so that was my out of my family unit because the community invited me to come up and live there. And it was my dear soul sister in Shasta who said, I'm like, I don't know if I could do this to break free from the family chains. Because how am I going to still pay mortgage and live off grid and not have a quote job? And she's like, you can go get a job or you can face this so that you don't have to come back in your next life and do it all over again. I'm like, okay, I'm there.
That's motivation for you.
I don't want to do this. And so it was the hardest thing to do, but I told my family I'm moving.
Wow.
And of course I got the whole guilt trip at first because God, it was a disruption to their comfortable life. And it's scary. And so I moved up there and that was when with, of course, the more spaciousness is when I started having a better relationship with my family and with the inner work that I did. I had done so much inner work that one Christmas I came home and maybe I should back up a little. So I did a little bit. I don't even know what it's called, but I call it reframing. So I would think of certain traumatic times in my childhood and revision it as if it happened in a different way. But I would add elements of what I recalled it to be just so that the subconscious mind doesn't know what's true, what's not. So I remember revisioning the time when I learned how to ride a bicycle because that was really traumatic for me. Yeah, it wasn't fun at all. And so I just revisioned my dad being so kind and so loving and so gentle with the process. And I kid you not, when I came home to visit for the holidays, my dad was completely different. I'm like, wow. Who are you? What happened? Why are you so nice to me?
Wow.
Like night and day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a testament. Like if you do your inner work, seriously, wow.
Yeah.
It affects the timelines all over the place, like the ancestral timelines, everything, backwards, forwards, all around. And now, whereas I could not even look at him, I could not look him in the eye. I couldn't hug him. My family, we never said, I love you to each other. Some Japanese thing.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. But now, oh my God, like I just visited them for 2 weeks over Christmas, and I had the best time ever. Oh my God, my dad was telling me stories about his childhood, and I truly enjoyed it. And yeah, now I could just give him a great big old hug. And we say, I love you to each other now. Mm. And it's like, what happened? Who is this family?
180 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. And congratulations on that. Cause that's a lot, especially with such an abusive background. So when I initially asked you to do this, you're like, well, I don't think I fit your profile. And I was like, no, I think that is something we should talk about. And that is that you were listening deeply to your highest self, your intuition, which told you what?
It told me to cocoon. Mm. It told me, it told me since, I've been cocooning since November 2019.
But still going cocooning, but you were still going to work?
I was still going to work, but I guess I should clarify, not being so much on social media, not mm-hmm. putting myself out there as much. So I really did enjoy social media. I really did enjoy posting live videos or, you know, videos and stuff like that. But that was the guidance. The guidance was to just kind of go more internal. So I was working still. And that was around the time I felt the death energies right, too. Though,
just, yeah, yeah. And then the other thing too is so that meant you stopped doing, because you and your love bomb gang would do these amazing, you can describe it. Was that part of it too? Not participating in those physical displays of affection, of writing cards and giving them out to people? And was that part of it too? Was that part of the cocooning process, or was it just?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because even though the intuition didn't deter me from that, so I did a little bit of that on my own, which I did during Christmas too. That was so fun. Oh my gosh. And can I just share real quick? Yeah. I'm talking so much. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the whole point of the conversation. I'm glad you're talking.
Thanks. So my family, especially my oldest sister, is such a hoarder, and they know I do all of these random acts of kindness, and, mm-hmm. and I like to send out love bombs or help any way I can. And so my whole family, I'm going to cry. They're so cute. They gathered all kinds of blankets and hats and sweatshirts, even my dad. It's so cute. And they sent me home with a carload of items to give to the homeless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I told them, oh my God, I'm going to drive home. I'm going to look like the homeless because my car was so packed. But no, yeah. So I wasn't guided to not do those things. I was guided to step away from basically social media. Because as I know it to be, and this is just my experience, so I'm not saying that's how it really is. I was mostly on Facebook, so I can only talk from my experience of Facebook. I felt like Facebook had a certain matrix mm-hmm. and energy about it that I didn't align with. And even though I love reading about everybody, what's going on with people, and I have wonderful friends, it was also all this all these thoughts. Too much. It was overstimulation. Mm-hmm. When you're psychic, you're open. And when you read about somebody, even though it's joyful, you're cording with them. Mm. So I felt like I was corded too much. And I needed to go within myself. And I needed to go, apparently, for over a year to build my own sovereignty, to know what is my truth. Because everybody has an opinion,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Everybody has beliefs. And being I was conditioned to be a people pleaser. I was conditioned to keep the peace, right, in my family.
That's the Asian family secret. Yeah, right here, Asian woman right here too. Yeah, that's just ingrained when you live in a patriarchal society on the females. Yeah.
Yeah, it's survival too, right? Mm-hmm. It's a survival. That's what you do to survive in the family unit. And so I grew up not even being able to speak, much less speak my truth. All I was allowed to say was, yes, you're right. Mm. Yes, Dad. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Because anything else would have been like a slap in the face.
Right? Yeah, you don't disrespect your elders. That's like ingrained. You don't go against any. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a long road of what does Connie even like? What are her beliefs? What are her truths? And so I am so grateful to my sweetie Mika, who has been supporting me and speaking my truths, even if it's maybe different than his. He'll say, thank you for speaking your truths. And so the, you know, at first the body kind of clenches and goes, zoinks, what did you just say? You're thanking me for speaking truth? You're not going to slap me in the face? Mm. You know, there's this visceral, because all of the years of conditioning, there's a somatic response that had to be reprogrammed. And so I feel like this body is a little bit more relaxed now, a little bit looser, loosey-goosey, and more able to be the quirky, weird, whatever girl, fairy girl, whatever is that I am. Yeah, it's been quite the journey, quite the road. So anyways, back to the whole social media and cocooning. It was basically to shelter myself so that I could hear myself. So my thoughts, my beliefs, and
so are you responsible for this pandemic to make everybody do the same thing? No, just joking. So you were cocooning, then the pandemic happened, you're like, well, shit, great.
Thank you. There is a God.
Cut the cords, right?
Yeah.
Cutting those cords from this your full-time job. And because I don't know, I got the impression that it was also the work that you were doing too. The spiritual teachings and that you
I did. I mean, I had a couple clients. You know, I still have. Now I have one crossed over. Anyways, yeah. So but when I said, oh, Sharmila, I'm not sure if I'm the person to interview, it's because I'm not actively building a business. Right. And it's because I feel like I'm this, I don't know, rebel. Like, you know, you and I took, we were learning how to build a business, and I don't work that in the way that they were teaching us to build a business. What I was learning how to build a business felt 3D to me, and so 5D to me feels like my life is my message. I don't have to find the flowery words. That doesn't sound very nice.
No. I mean, it's, you know, there's a formula that was taught. And
it works.
And it works for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yes.
It works for a lot of people.
So it does. It just doesn't work for me. I guess. It's just not in alignment. It feels like, for me. And that's why it's taking me longer than a lot of other folks possibly. But I guess I got to do it my way. And so my way has,
I was just going to say that, and that's why I wanted you to talk about that, because I mean, I've seen people take, you know, like you did a 4-day, I remember you said you were doing a 4-day detox. Like I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. Feels so long ago now.
I know.
and people do, but they come back. But this, you know, I think that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of confidence too, to do what you just said, is to do it your way. Like, okay, there's, I have this training of marketing and whatnot as an entrepreneur, but I'm just going to do it my way. And you were, you know, you were doing, I remember you were doing retreats and in Mount Shasta, and then doing these, what did you just call that? Not the love bombs, the random acts of kindness. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like I didn't do the retreat. I actually did. Oh. It spontaneously created itself like that. That's what I mean. Like, for me, I'm wanting to manifest in the 5D way, where you just put it, say, hey, I want to do this. And it just does it right. itself. And so it's not like I didn't. I interpreted building a business as I'm taking step by step. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm saying I'm this. I am a healer and I work with these types of people. I don't know who I work with. I'm right now, I'm gladly unnicheable. I work with men and women and I do different things. And so it's so freeing for me right now to be able to work with men in more of an intimate one-on-one capacity. And then women feels like more group and to trust that, okay, I guess I'm not supposed to work with a lot of people right now, but I'm sensing it's coming. They're like, don't worry. My guides say, you better, not better, but enjoy this time right now, because you're going to get busy. You're going to wish you're going to wish you were had all this time like you do now.
But see, that's the point, you know, because we teach people, right, to trust your intuition and follow it. And sometimes it's really uncomfortable, you know, it's really uncomfortable to, especially when you're, if you're Asian, you know. Because you're just told what to do. You're like, okay, I'll just do it this way. All right. Okay. And then it's like, it just doesn't quite work. And you're like, wow. And it's, and almost, I mean, cause I'm just speaking from my own experience and you're saying, yeah. it's like, you know, like, okay, how do I don't want to define myself. I don't want to put myself. And it's all about putting yourself in a box, because there is a formula for doing that.
Yes.
And at first, right. But then there's people like you, there's people like me and others who are, unnicheable. I'll send you the link. You should listen to, I forgot what episode, but it was Vidya. And, she said she called it unmarketing. She's like, oh yeah, nice. I do unmarketing.
I love that. Yes.
And I'm wondering too, this is a totally separate thing. Do you know human design?
I do a little bit.
What's your type? Do you know your type?
Manifesting generator.
Oh, okay. I would not have guessed that. But, okay.
Really? What are you?
I'm a projector.
Ah, oh, my housemate's a projector.
But I guess it makes sense, because that's what you do, is manifesting generators are workhorses, like generators. They just work. Anyway, so that's a whole nother conversation. But that's why I was like, no, Connie, like, I think there's a lot to say about the confidence of listening to your intuition when it's telling you like, no. I mean, you got that message back in 2011, like, I don't want to be working in a restaurant. And then you went back to it because, hey, that's a good way to earn some money, right? That's a good way to earn it. And then the pandemic just like shut everything down. And now you're like, yeah, you know what? Right. And, you know, not being on social media, which is huge, because, you know, that's what a lot of people have been doing, especially during the pandemic, me included, is just like reading stuff and like, oh, which is nice in that sense of like being able to be in touch with your family that, you know, like my family, half of them live halfway, you know, across the world and across the US, and just keeping in touch with people, you know, it's just impossible. But with this, it just kind of centralizes it. And I think it's valuable to hear everyone's point of view, because, like, you know, you go to any podcast and it's like the successful, you know, how I built a successful six-figure, seven-figure business, and this is what you do, and blah, blah, which is great. all great, but there's all the ways of doing it too. And that's just what's not talked about. And so that's why I think I was just like, no, please. And I'm so, you know, that's why I said, well, just, you know, listen to yourself. And if it's the right thing to do, please do it. I'm so glad you did.
I'm so glad too. Thank you so much, Sharmila. It's taught me, yes. I mean, just you expressing how I've been listening to my intuition, I just hearing it back, I guess, is so valuable. And knowing that the route I was going was unsustainable for me. Mm-hmm. And this is a much more joyous, fun, magical way of living. Like now I work on the energetics. So I do still put my energy out there. I'm like, okay, if anybody is wanting to work with me, this is my energy signature, ding, 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 mm-hmm. energetically. And then they come. Like I have my client now, he didn't know why he came to me. And it's been almost, I don't know, 8 or 9 months now with him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't lock him in to your traditional, you got to sign up for 6 months or a 12-month program. I gave him all the freedom. Mm. That he would want. And so it kind of was almost presented like one-offs. We'll have sessions whenever you want. So at first it was every week. And then it's now maybe twice a week or something like that. But it wasn't locking him into a contract, mm-hmm. Into a time frame that he mm-hmm. would have 3 calls a week or something. I mean, 3 calls a month. What if he didn't need it then? Mm-hmm. So that was like, this is my new way.
Right.
Holding a container for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It can look so many different ways. And I think that's not acknowledged. It's not, it's like, no, you got to do this because that is sustainable for you. It's sustainable income, you know, it's steady. And yeah, I just think that there are, you know, I hate because I have 2 cats, but there's a million ways to skin a cat, as they say.
Yes.
There's a million ways of skinning an orange, as they say. Let's do that. Eggplant's bigger. Many ways to skin an eggplant. But any parting words of wisdom about confidence for our listeners?
Oh, again, good question. And I can only speak from my experience.
Absolutely.
And my experience has been to trust myself, trust my inner guidance, my inner compass. And the more I look out of myself, the harder it is to hear my intuition. So the more I can tap into my inner guidance, the more grace actually occurs, the more help and support from the cosmos it'll come in, because I'm open to manifesting, and I'm not so attached to how money's going to come in or clients are going to come in. It'll come in however it comes in, because I trust. So I guess I trust that I'm being supported. I trust that I'm being guided. I trust that I know I'm here at this time to take part in the great awakening. And I know so many people are going to need, you know, us as healers, our support. Mm. And so I trust, I know it's coming, and I know that I'm ready. I'll be ready, and I am ready when the time comes. So I trust in the timing of it as well.
And with that, we will close this out. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. So here are the ways to get a hold of Connie when she puts out her telepathic messages that she's embedded in this episode. So there's connieketo@gmail.com. It's K-A-K-A-N-I. Her last name is Keto, K-I-D-O. And of course, this will all be in the show notes. And her website is connieketocoaching.com. And she listed her Facebook and Instagram, even though she's not on it as much.
I know.
But her Facebook is connie.keto and Instagram is Connie Kokoro Kido. And I will have that all on the show notes. And those are the ways to get in touch with Miss Connie. So let's give Connie a big hug goodbye.
Thank you so much, Sharmila.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here and listening. And we'll see you next time on the Confident Healer Podcast. Bye.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening and see you next time.